ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विश्रुणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षवीर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः यशेमदेवहितं यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ ॐ ओ गॉड्स मे वी ऑलवेज हियर विथ अवर आईज ईयर्स व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। ओ वर्शिपफुल वंस may we with our eyes always see what is auspicious. May we live our allotted life hale and hearty, offering our praises unto thee. May Indra of ancient fame bestow auspiciousness on all of us. May the all nourishing portion be propitious to all of us. May Garuda, the destroyer of all evil, be well disposed towards all of us. May Brihaspati ensure all our welfare. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have been studying the second chapter of the Mandukya Upanishad. Second chapter is called Vaitathya. Vaitathya means that which is an appearance, falsity, not non-existence, but falsity. It is called Mithya. Let us not be confused by this word mithya. Mithya means seeing an object upon some other object. So there is something real. Seeing it, there are certain resemblances with another object, and we mistake that original object as the second object. So it is partial resemblance, meaning partial knowledge. So it is not unreal. It is seemingly real, incomplete realness. At all times, let us keep this in mind. So is the waking state mithya? Yes, because its substratum is turiyam. Is the dream state mithya? Yes, its substratum too is turiyam. Is the deep sleep state mithya? Yes, that too. Turiyam means the pure consciousness looks at itself in a mirror which only distorts its image. That is called these three states, only these three states and no more of them. So this was the subject we were discussing. In fact, this is the whole subject of when Shankaracharya was asked, what is the essence of what you have written? Brahma Satyam. That means Brahman is the substratum, that is the only reality. Jagat Mithya, Brahman looked at through the prism of time, space and causation, which is another name for the mind, appears to be the waking, dream and sleep states successively, one after the other. So what we are seeing is not non-existent. What we are seeing is Brahman only. This is a fact we have to keep at all times in our mind. Waking state, let us say, is a partial manifestation of Brahman. Dream state is partial manifestation of Brahman. Deep sleep state is a partial manifestation of Brahman. It is not complete manifestation. This is being discussed in every scripture, but when the mind becomes purified, these limitations of the mind, which are called time, space and causation, they get removed. The mind becomes completely neutral reflector. This is called Shuddha citta, citta shuddhi, or pure mind, as Sri Ramakrishna says, then it doesn't limit what is in front of it, which is Brahman, which is me or I, and reflects, then the person realizes, I am Brahman. And this is what is called yogaha chitta vritti nirodha. Nirodha doesn't mean suppression. It means make the mind completely remove all the limiting factors, which are time, space and causation. And it reflects the Atman Purusha exactly as it is without any distortion. What are the mind, which is otherwise called time, space and causation, do? It creates limitations, separates one from the other. This limitation or separating one from the other is called ajnana or ignorance. So when a person gets jnana, this separating factor, it is destroyed forever. Then, as long as mind is working, still a person sees this world full of names, forms, and qualities. But he doesn't mistake. Just as when we see a drama or a cinema, a story, people, objects, mountains, trees, birds, but we enjoy them. That is called Leela. And at the same time, we know they are all made up of only one material, and that is called light. Light is the man which we see, the woman, the mountain, the what is called living being and non-living being, and of fair complexion, black complexion, or mixed complexion, good, bad, everything is made up of that light. That is the realization. Once we know, the whole world becomes like a cinema, which is called Leela. So, in our previous Karikas, Gaudapada Karikas, he is trying to tell that there is no reality. Waking state is one kind of limitation. Dream state is another kind of limitation. Deep sleep is another kind of limitation. So, the goal in life is to get rid of all these limitations. These limitations are the playthings of the mind. It is the mind alone which creates even deep sleep state through the causal state in the causal world called prajna, called karana sharira, creates karana prapancha, where the duality is not there, but it has not disappeared completely. It is there in seed form. That is why it is called karana. After some time, it again manifests in all its power and glory at the waking and at the dream state. This is the essence of this entire second chapter. I would say third chapter, fourth chapter, every scripture, every blessed scripture, every teaching of a sage in the whole world. Now, the opponent brings some objections. Opponent means our own mind, which creates a lot of doubts or misinformations or wrong interpretations. This is called Purva Pakshi or opponent, and especially five objections he raises. What is the first objection? First of all, what is the Gaudapada's point? Every one of us, we have classes only in the waking state, and we have dreams. And then when we come out of the dream state, all of us, 150%, we say dream is just an imagination, but the waking is completely real. And Gaudapada is telling that is not true. The waking state is as unreal as the dream state. For that, an example can be taken. Supposing I am having a dream. And when I am dreaming, I don't call it dream state, I call it waking state. And then imagine I work very hard, and then I lie down on the bed or on the sofa, and sleep overtakes me, and I have a dream. So in the dream state, from the dream waking, I enter into dream, and then I wake up again, I find myself sitting in the sofa. Oh, I dozed off and I had this dream. And then I say, all that dream is nothing but my imagination. But what I am seeing in front of me, my sitting on the sofa, my watching the cinema or cricket, whatever, this is all very real, but my dream is unreal. And exactly that is what we do upon waking up, that first dream for the first dreamer, the second dream is unreal, first dream is real, so long as the dream is continuing. But when we wake up, when I wake up, that entire first dream is also unreal. The second dream is also unreal. But I think this waking state is real. So, this is our doubt. How could you say? And for that also, one Swami was narrating an example. When the Swami, Pakka Advaita Vedantin, is arguing like this, a householder, a scholar who is a householder, he said, all your arguments is completely wrong. Probably he was a follower of Ramanuja. The Swami said, how am I wrong? And that scholar said, supposing I take a pot and then I strike your head with that pot, do you call it unreal? Swami said, yes, I will call it unreal because no pot is ever going to strike me. Of course, that scholar could not understand the trend of what Swami wants to convey. So, shall I do it? Yes, you can do it. Will you not feel pain? Yes, I will feel pain. Then is not the pot striking you and causing you pain? Says, no, the pot is not making me painful. It is the clay which is making me painful because all the pots are made out of clay. The Swami wants to say the whole universe is nothing but conscious. And like in dream, you dream that somebody has come and then beaten you, black and blue. Do you feel pain or not? Are you not crying out? Yes, exactly in the same way, in the waking state also, whatever happens, I will also cry out. But suppose I get Brahma Jnana and I wake up from this, this waking dream, then I will say, it is Brahman only. Just as upon waking up, a person that is being beaten in the dream doesn't feel any injury. There will not be a slightest injury, will not be there. But you know, we have got clever fellows all over the world. What do they say? You will find yourself that there is some injury. And that injury came from where? So this knowledgeable person, he says, that injury was not caused by the other person beating me. I was struggling in the dream to get out of that fellow. And then accidentally I fell down on the floor. And then I got injured. It is my own falling that has caused this injury, not that animal or not that person. Anyway, what is the fact? We are not convinced. So we are the objectors. Five such objections are there. What is it? The first objection, utility. So in this waking world, I can drink, I can eat, my thirst is quenched, my hunger is appeased, so I can have bank balance, but it is absolutely no use in dream. The answer is that in dream also, if you have hunger, dream food satisfies you, dream water quenches your thirst. And dream bank balance, you can purchase anything that is an object that is available in the dream. But of course, remember always, when we are dreaming, we don't call it dream, it is absolute reality. When we wake up into another state, then say that is no use. So utility theory falls by the roadside because if you have not eaten here, you are starving, you go to sleep and you have a dream, plenty of food you are eating there and then you wake up, it doesn't create that utility of both the state of waking and dream are exactly the same. Then continuity. What is the continuity? No man dreams the same dream the same way. But every time we wake up from a dream state, we see the same house and all those things. For that, the very short and to the point answer is, do you have this doubt in the dream state or in the waking state that there is no continuity? As a dreamer, do you ever find why there is no continuity? Why did I find this same house? Why did I find the same parents? Do you have any doubt about it? Absolutely not. It is the most natural thing. In dream also, I was a baby, I grew up, I studied in such a college, I am working now, and I am prepared to get retired. The absolute continuity, thought of continuity, continues in the dream state. You have no doubt. Otherwise, you will be suffering. Who am I? Because continuity is one of the things that gives us identity. So, that objection falls by the roadside. Then third objection, there are certain unique experiences. As I might have dreamt, I have seen God. For that, Gaudapada says, it all depends upon, suppose you read a book, nice book, about Sri Ramakrishna's life or Krishna's life, Bhagavatam, and you go to dream and you find yourself in Vrindavanam and you have sporting pleasures with Bhagavan Krishna. It has nothing to do. No. I never read Bhagavatam in this life. Maybe you have read in your past life. Maybe you heard it in your childhood. You don't remember now. So, unique experience is no proof that dreams are real. This is the opponent's assertion that if I had some unique experience in dreams, that proves that dreams are real. No, there is no such. It all depends upon the mind. It is a play of the mind. It is the imaginations of the mind. That is the third objection is squashed. Then, fourth objection is that in this waking state, what I see through my sense organs is real and what I imagine about them in my mind is unreal. External is real and internal is unreal. Objective existence is real, subjective existence is unreal. And Gaudapada squashes it and saying, in the dreams also, you have exactly internal and external. You are sitting in your room in a dream and you look out through your window and some fellow who is haunting you, he is passing by and he might not have seen you, but you start getting haunted by the very thought. There also, outside is real, that is, objective existence is real. Subjective, that means what your mind thinks about the external objects is unreal. Same experience, exactly the same way like in the waking state. So, that argument is also completely squashed. For example, I give the example, if in your dream state, you have another dream. Upon waking up, you say, whatever I dreamt in the dream state, of course, you don't say it is a dream state at that time, but that is your waking state. I dreamt and that is all my imagination, but now I woke up and this is all very real. The same thing happens in the waking state also. There is external and internal, both are unreal. And we have to understand it clearly because supposing you see a person and let us say two persons experience one person. For with one person, that person very friendly with you, he is very cross with you. So, who is that person? Is he a good person or is he a bad person? Two different interpretations. And your interpretations makes your own world and it is a reality for you. And it either makes you happy or unhappy. And each one of us are living in our own peculiar world. And that is what I want you to understand, that none of us are really living exactly in the same world. Each one of us are living in our own private individual world, just as our dream is private, the external waking state is also private, because whatever may be outside, but the way we look at it and then think about it, come to understand it, makes our own private world. So, the fourth objection, that objective existence is real, subjective existence is unreal, is also squashed. Then fifth, waking state, things are very clear, whereas when dream states are very vague. This is the last objection. Then Gaudapada counters and says, when are you talking about dream is vague? Are you talking when you are dreaming, or are you talking when you are awake? Because waking state experiences are very clear. To whom? To the waking person. Dream state experiences are very clear. To whom? The dream state. While you are in the dream state, you don't say, oh, things are very vague. I can't find out my way. It is all very unclear. Do you say that? No. You see everything crystal clearly. You say that. And even in the waking state also, so are things very clear? And then one Swami, Dayananda, gives a beautiful example. So there is semi-darkness and you are walking and suddenly you see a snake and you jump and try to run away. Sputum. So is this, you are running away, seeing the snake, very sputum or not? You say, it is very clear to me. Is it clear? Bring the light and you will see it is only a harmless rope. Not at all. So you mistake some people also because of their voice, because of their face cut, everything. How much of killing is done by the people? So when many people went to Africa, these are not human beings. These are all animals. And they were killed, they were captured, they were made slaves. And the Western countries, especially America and UK, etc., are full of these so-called human beings whom they never considered human beings at that time. And I suspect even now, they don't give equal value with a white-skinned person. Black skin, Indians, by the way, very proud. We are not treated like that. So many incidents show that for a white-skinned person, anybody who is not having white skin is suspect. Okay. So, the waking state is very clear and a dream state is not clear. That argument is also squashed. These we have discussed. I'm just reminding you. With this, we'll go into the 11th karika. So, Ubhayorapi Vaitathyam Vedanam Sthane Oryadi Kayetan Budhyate Vedan Kovaitesham Vikalpaka. So, what was Gaudapada saying? He is saying that the whole universe, Jagat, that we experience, and in that universe we have the dream state. Just as we admit dream is unreal, seemingly real, this waking state is no different. It is also seemingly real. That means waking is also mithya and dream also is mithya, and by proxy deep sleep is also mithya. Then the opponent comes up. So there must be somebody who is experiencing and knowing dream is unreal, waking is unreal, deep sleep is also unreal. There must be somebody who is different from the waker, who is different from the dreamer, who is the different from the sleeper. Because to judge any change that takes place, there must be an unchanging consciousness. Therefore, is whom are you talking about? Because I experience waking and for me it is very real. I experience a dream and upon waking up, I find it is only my imagination. So this is the opponent. Remember, opponent means all of us. All of us who cannot think deeply, Bhagavan Gaudapada Acharya brings out our own doubts which might have come, which might be there right now or which might pop up in the future. He is answering so that we don't need to waste time ourselves. So he is raising the doubts and also squashing them, telling that everything is a passing show. And of this statement, there can be no doubt. Why? Because where the dream state comes to, it begins and it comes to an end. Waking state, it begins and comes to an end. When we start having dream, the waking comes to an end. And when we come out of deep sleep state, the waking state starts. maybe at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. And this is also another Maya. 5 o'clock in India is maybe a morning. In America, you cannot even say morning. You have to say at every country, waking state is different. But one thing is common, waking starts and ends. Dream starts and ends. Deep sleep starts and ends. And we have day, we have night, and we have offices. Everything in this world is changing. My body is changing. My mind is changing. Every blessed object in this world is completely changing. And whatever is changing is unreal. Trikala abaditam alone is satyam. That which never undergoes any change, alone is real, satyam, truth. That definition we have to keep in mind. Therefore, even to know that something is changing, there must be an unchanging consciousness. And who is that unchanging consciousness? That was the question the opponent raises. For that, Gaudapada in the 12th Karika gives, Kalpayati Atmana Atmanam Atma Devaha Swamayaya Sayeva Budhyate Vedan Iti Vedanta Nishyaha. A crystal clear categorical answer Gaudapada gives. I am not telling, I am only reflecting the essence of the scriptures. Vedanta Nishyaha. Every Vedanta scripture, that means Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutras, Puranas, everything is telling that God creates. This is what is called Leela. Now, the idea of Leela comes. So, when the opponent asks, then who is it that knows the waking dream and deep sleep as if he is witnessing a drama, a cinema? Because anything that changes can be called a drama or a cinema. Who is it? Just in case you think you don't understand it, just imagine daydream. We all know daydreams. Then we, after heavy lunch also, not necessarily, but light lunch also, we lie down and suddenly we go into half dreaming state. Not completely dreaming, not completely awake. In between, there is a state when we imagine, I have become a big officer and so many people obey me. My salary has increased by 1,000-fold. My business has become successful. And every stupid fellow, sorry to use that word, before marriage, he thinks that I will be in heaven after marriage. And after marriage, he comes to know, so I wanted another heaven, not this kind of heaven. Anyway. So, there is a utility for all grihastha's life also, because only through grihastha life, we become vanaprasthas, and through vanaprastha, after some time, we become sannyasins, but we have to wake up from this so-called dream. Anyway, coming back, this is the understanding. If everything is changing, how do we know everything is changing? For that, there is a law. That law is, there must be somebody who is unchanging, then only he can know what is changing. You must be standing there without moving. If you want to count how many cars passed in front of you, if you also start moving, then you will never be able to count. You will not know how many cars in a given minute have passed in front of you. You will never know. You, for 1 minute at least, As an example, you have to stand completely still and go on counting cars which pass from left to right, right to left, from back to front, front to back, especially if you stand at a signal point of view. So, this is something which we have to understand. Only an unchanging somebody, conscious being, unchanging conscious being alone can witness and understand what is changing. And it is not difficult to understand that every single day, every living creature is experiencing waking, dream, as well as deep sleep state. And they are all changing one after the other. One state changes into the other state. And whatever is changing is a changing object. As we discussed elaborately, every object requires a subject who is unchanging. And that unchanging subject must be conscious, one, without a second, unborn, eternal, then only it can witness life after life, what is happening in this body, mind, etc. So, this was the question. What was the question? Who is that conscious being? Who is unchanging? Who is eternal? Who is one? That is simple equation, Atma. But the Purvapakshi is not using the word Atma, but Gaudapada puts it into his mouth. There must be somebody. So that somebody must be unchanging, and there is only one thing in this world which is unchanging, and that is the Atma. And that is what he says, there is an Atma. And the whole universe, consisting of waking, dream, as well as deep sleep, it is this one Deva. Deva means he who is endowed with pure consciousness. It is by his own Maya, means he created his own mind, which is called Ishvara, and he created his own Maya, which is called Maya or Prakriti, and with his, that is to say, the mind, that is to say, time, space, and causation, and he is imagining, just sitting as we are watching a cinema. In Puranas, the crystal clear manner, this is called Bhagavat Leela, Krishna Leela, Rama Leela. So, that is what, even in Advaita Vedanta, they have to say, they cannot escape. So, Kalpayati Atmana, Atmanam, Atma, Devaha, Sva, Mayaya. And then, he creates himself as he imagines himself as the Jiva, as the waking state, as the dream state, as the deep sleep state, and he himself is the creator, he himself is the created, he himself is going through all these three states, and then sometimes he becomes tired, and then he also says, I don't want to imagine now, I want just to be myself, which is called Turiya. This is the short answer. So, the self-effulgent self, that is to say, a pure consciousness which is illumining itself as well as everything else, called Atma, imagines itself, that through itself, by the power of its own Maya, which is called its own imagination, the self itself organizes the objects. Such is the definite conclusion of Vedanta. This is what Vedanta tells. It is all the sport of the Brahman, Brahma Leela. That is what he says. So in this stanza, Gaudapada is answering that question. The Atman, the pure consciousness, gets itself deluded by its own delusion and by itself projects out this pluralistic world, which is nothing but itself, it being the all-pervading and eternal. Very peculiar word. So, Swamayaya Sayeva Buddhyate. Kalpayati imagines who? Atma, Devaha. What is the name of the nature of the Atma? Devaha, self-intelligent one. Atmana, through its own mind. Atmanam, itself. It itself is the subject. It itself is the object. It itself is the mind. And with the help of Swamayaya, means its own mind, he thinks, I have become the Jagat, I have become the Panchabhutas, I have become the Jivas and Jagat, the individual selves, as well as the experienced objects, everything I have become. Sayeva Buddhyate, that Atma, that Deva, himself, Vedan, all the differences. This is with life, this is without life, this is a mountain, this is a river, these are two human beings, this is an Indian, and this is a non-Indian, this is white-skinned, this is black-skinned, brown-skinned, yellow-skinned, whatever-skinned, etc. This is a man, this is a animal, this is a bird, this is a plant, and these are mountains, rivers, etc. Without any consciousness, etc., he himself is imagining. He gets deluded himself. That is Swamayaya. Now the question is, Atman is pure consciousness. That is Brahman. is pure consciousness. Shuddha Chaitanya. Shuddha Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupaha. Can it get really tell you that? No. Like a poet, he comes and writes, I am flying on this in the sky. I am a huge bird and my both wings are spanning huge distances and I am traveling at thousands of miles per hour and then I am moving to other planets, other worlds. He sits in his easy chair and goes on imagining. Is he conscious? He must be conscious. Because to imagine also, there must be an imaginer and he must be conscious. If he is sleeping, that means if he is unconscious, he cannot even imagine. And not only that, he is completely aware, just as we are aware of this world, though we don't take notice of it. And this is the greatest discovery of the modern psychology. The mind is divided into three layers, the subconscious and the unconscious and the conscious. We are barely aware of the conscious. Oh, with great difficulty, we become a bit aware of the subconscious, what I ate yesterday. But even 10 days back, what I ate is not easily rememberable, not to speak of what happened in my last birth or in my childhood. And unconscious, so many impressions are completely accumulated from Janma Janmantara. I am not at all conscious. But this being, like a poet, he is weaving poems after poems. In fact, Swami Vivekananda, he says, Bhagavan is writing his poems. This universe is nothing but the unending poem of the creation of Bhagavan as a poet. By the way, Brahman is called a poet also. So this is what is telling. What is the point? In reality, Brahman never becomes deluded. It is impossible for the consciousness to become unconscious. Therefore, the Puranas prefer to call it Brahmalila. And that subject is a marvelous subject which we get in the third chapter of the Kena Upanishad. So everything is my divine mother's Leela. That is what Sri Ramakrishna says. So whatever the imaginer imagines is only an imagination and it looks like imagination, real imagination. Have you heard this word? Real imagination? There is nothing called real. Either it is real or it is imaginary. But we all want to have daydreams or our imaginations. We wish what we cannot. We wish to create all those things. So, what the imagination is unreal, the imaginer alone is real. That is what he would say. The consciousness is illumining everything in this world. It illumines the waking state. Otherwise, the Vishwa cannot experience. It is illumining the dream world. Otherwise, the Taijasa cannot experience Swapna Avastha. And as Prajna is illumining completely the dream, deep sleep state. Otherwise, he cannot experience. Just see the paradox of it. I hope you are getting it. The paradox is, if the Prajna is completely aware, then why can't we remember that as Prajna, we are remembering, yes, that is the speciality of Prajna. I don't want to wake up as if I know everything. I want to wake up as if I don't know it. But he is saying, I know everything, but I pretend I do not know anything. That is the imagination, power of imagination of the Prajna. But that is why he says, I only slept. And I am very happy. That is wonderful. Now, how does this person do? Continuing the above answer. So, how does the Lord imagine? Really, there is no answer. Because you have to go to the Lord and say, how did you manage to imagine all those things? Simply, he will smile. But you know what happens? When you go to God, there is no world. And when there is no world, the question of how did you imagine the world doesn't arise at all. All these questions and answers are from our ignorant point of view. And because it is from the ignorant point of view, even there can be no answer. even in our deep sleep, we never put these questions. And rarely we put these questions in the dream state. It is only in the waking state we put all these questions. And generally we put all these questions because we are profoundly unhappy in the waking state. If I had been there, I would have created a better world. By the way, this is an argument that comes. If I was the creator, I, the Brahman, is the creator of the waking state, etc., I would have imagined myself in a much better way. In fact, the answer is, you imagine yourself in this manner, so I want to be unhappy. It is your earnest desire. You are the creator of this profoundly unhappy state, and that is why you made that a reality, and now your thinking that it is a reality, thinking that I am very unhappy, is nothing but pure imagination. Just like in your dream, somebody is beating you and then you are feeling the pain, and then when you wake up, you will understand nobody is beating, or rather you are beating yourself so that you wake up from that state to escape that beating state. So you wake up from this waking state, and then you don't need to attend any more of these Mandukya Karika classes, and then you will be happiest person on earth. Maybe I may be unhappy, you are not listening to my classes, but this is it. So continuing, how does he imagine? That means by what way? And in the 13th Karika it is being said, Vikaroti aparan bhavan antaschitte vyavasthitan niyatamsya bahischittaha evam kalpayate prabhu. The Lord manifests diversely the mundane things existing in the mind. Turning the mind outward, he creates this what we call waking world. And turning inside, he will also create all the dream world. And after some time, he says, now I want to be free, not from this samsara, but from this unnecessary labor of imagining. And he goes into the deep sleep state, very profound. At the same time, it looks unbelievable, and naturally so. So let us take. The Lord manifests diversely. Vikaroti aparan bhavan antaschitte evastita. That means whatever thoughts are going on. Dream also is a internal state of the mind. Vikaroti antarbhavan antaschitte, inside the mind. Aparan bhavan, some type of thoughts. Because every object is a thought. Even in the external world, you see a tree, but you don't know. But when you see a tree, a thought in the form of that tree enters into your mind, and that is, you know only about that object you choose to call the tree through your thought. If the thought disappears, the entire tree also disappears. We are doing it all the time. Niyatamscha bahischitta. That is, what we call waking state is also my imagination. And dream state is also my imagination. The Lord himself, in this case, is imagining that I am the world. I divide myself into the living and non-living. And what we call adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika, everything, it is all my imagination. Evam kalpayate prabhuhu. Prabhuhu means that Brahman, that pure consciousness, imagines. Don't ask, why did God create the world? Why is he imagining like that? Don't ask, because there is no answer. So, that is what Bhagavad Gita also reflects. Mayadhyakshena prakruti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat iparivartate. So, I will be the supervisor, and under me I created. Who created? I myself created. Whom did I create? Called Prakruti. So the mixture of myself and Prakruti is called Ishvara. When there is no Prakruti, I am called Brahman. When I have this, I imagine I have created a Prakruti, Maya, that is called Ishvara. So yate, then what happens? Ishvara is the creator, and Sacharacharam, the moving and the unmoving. The living, the non-living, suyate, is maya adhyakshena. Because without consciousness, Nothing can, even imagination is not possible. But it is all created just as we create our entire dream state. This is the creation of the Divine Lord. So because of that, hey Kaunteya, O Arjuna, Jagat Viparivartate, all the worlds are acting and moving and being run only because of my presence in this way. That is what the Divine Lord says. So here we have to imagine Maya. Universal mind is called Maya. Individual Maya is called the mind. So as we do and create our dream with what? With our own individual mind. So also the Bhagavan creates all those. Now, so the opponent is also coming, some objection which we already discussed. And Gaudapada uses some peculiar words which lead to much confusion for us to understand. The 14th Karika, this is what he is telling. But it is exactly very, very easy for us to understand. Chitta kalahi yantastu, dvaya kalaschi bahihi, kalpita evate sarve, visesho nanyahetukaha. Things that exist internally, as long as the thought loss and things that are externally related to two points of time are all imaginations. Their distinction is not caused by anything else excepting our imagination. What does this Gaudapada wants to say? That whether it is a dream state or waking state, they are both exactly not real, mithya, seemingly real, limited reality. For that he uses peculiar words, chitta kala and dvaya kala. What is chitta kala? Supposing you are sitting on your easy chair and you are imagining, I am in a beautiful hotel, I am being served by beautiful beings like that or heaven, you imagine. How long is it real? So long as your imagination lasts. After that, when you wake up from that imagination, then everything disappears. This is what he calls chitta kala. Chitta kala means as long as the chitta lasts. Chitta means thought. So long as your thought lasts, that imagination is seemingly real. And when you destroy that thought, then it becomes destroyed. But whereas, remember, these are the objection raised by the opponent, which I already mentioned earlier. What is inside subjective experience is unreal. My objective experience, what I see outside in the waking state, that is real. How does he say about that? That what I imagine inside is unreal. That is called chitta kala. Because every object in my mind lasts only so long as that particular thought of that particular object lasts. Dvaya kalasya, but outside, you know. So you see a baby. This baby is born, say 10 years back. Now he is a young boy or young girl. And now it is, I see the time of his birth. I see also the after 10 years, this is the second time. First time when he is born, second time when I am experiencing. You can extend it and say when he dies. There is a date of birth and there is also a date of death. What they call shelf life, that is manufacturing date and what is called when the usefulness ends. Two times are there. This is called dvaya kala. And this is the objector's objection. That means waking state we have two times, but dream we have only one time. That is, so long as the thought lasts. For that, Gaudapada has to laugh aloud and say, when you are there in the dream state, you are also measuring. You see a baby. I know this baby. I saw him 10 years back. Now he is grown up. Oh, he has become a bright student. He has become a youth. He has become a middle student. So, Papa, he had met an accident and he died. I know the time when he was born and I was his neighbor. And I know the time when he died. So, I am aware of beginning time. I am aware of the death time. In dream also, exactly like the waking state, you can have both times. In fact, every object has got both times. When You are aware of that object at a particular point of time, is the beginning, the birth of that object. When another thought comes, that is the death of that particular object. After that, until you re-remember, there is absolutely, there is no existence. So this is the answer. That is, your thought is no indication. Both dream and waking, you have exactly, it is absolutely same. Now, the last objection, sphuta and asphuta. I have already discussed about it. What is it? The opponent comes and says, it's still continuing. I just mentioned those objections. So, sphuta means very clear. Asphuta means not at all clear. What is the objector's view? That everything that I experience in dream is not at all clear. You wake up, you try to recollect, and it is not at all clear. In fact, 99.999% of our dreams, we do not recollect at all. If at all, maybe some exceptionally deep a dream which gives deep impression in our minds, we might remember vaguely a little. This is what the opponent wants to say. The dream experience is very vague. It is not at all clear. Therefore, that is the criteria of unreal. What is the criteria of reality? Waking state. Why? Because in waking state, you remember everything very clearly. And Gaudapada gives a devastating blow and says, see, suppose you met somebody 50 years back and that person comes and stands in front of you. Do you remember very clearly, this is that person whom I have seen 50 years? Most often, not at all. You don't even remember what you yourself did when you were young and you are daring to claim that everything is crystal clear. Even a crystal is not very clear if you don't clear it properly. So, avyakta eva e antastu. Whatever thoughts are there within the mind, that means is referring specifically to dream state, they're avyakta, not at all, very clear. Ye bahi sputa eva cha, those which we experience in the waking state, crystal as clear like daylight. You are walking in semi-darkness. Do you see everything very clearly? Not at all. Because if you can see, you will never have accident. You will never see any snakes. Everything will be very nice. But that is not so. So, if you behave irrationally, that is called as asphuta. If you behave rationally and still are unhappy, that is because of the sphuta purvajanmaka. And we know what we did in the purvajanma. Nothing is very clear. Why a person sometimes laughs at us and very smiling at us and frowning at other times? Why our own mind behaves in such peculiar ways at any given moment? We don't know. Nothing is clear, neither in the waking state nor in the dream state. The crystal clear answer is, for the person who is in the dream state, everything is clear. He doesn't say it is not clear. For the person who is in the waking state, he says everything in the waking state is clear, dream state is not clear. At least the waking state person says dream state is not clear. But if you ask the dreaming person, he says, what are you talking about, waking state? Is there something called waking state? That is not at all there. So, this objection, clarity and vagueness are not definitions of reality and unreality. There is no difference. Whatever the mind experiences clearly in either waking or dream is clear. What it doesn't experience clearly is clear. And even if the mind experiences everything very clearly in the waking state, that from the Vedantic point of view, it is nothing but mithya. And mithya is that which we don't understand clearly, that it is very clear. I know this is mithya. This is a seemingly real snake. I will never become afraid. If I know this waking state to be completely what is called clearly mithya, then there is no bondage at all. Only a realized soul knows this is only imagination. So this is with this, Gaudapada squashes the last objection also, and we will talk about continuation of the subject, who is the experiencer of all these mithya vastu, whether it is waking, dream or deep sleep state, that is called jiva, and is jiva himself is real or unreal. These are the subjects we will talk about in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Taivo Sritva Pranamami Muhurmuhu. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.